Well, to delve further into Australia's growing skills shortage, as described in that package, I'm joined now by Megan Lilly, Head of Workforce Development at the AI Group, which covers a lot of manufacturers in this country. Danita Warne is Chief Executive of the Master Builders Australia, and Craig Robertson is Chief Executive of TAFE Directors Australia. Welcome, all of you, to breakfast.
Good morning.
Thank you.
Megan, apprentices are often vulnerable during tough economic times. Is this shrinking of available apprenticeships just, you know, unexpected? Is it a natural result of the enormous economic upheaval going on in the economy right now?
Well, it's certainly related to what's going on in the economy, as is all forms of employment. You know, everything's looking pretty grim. It's certainly much more dire in aspects of the economy or particular sectors, whereas some sectors seem to be reasonably stable, meaning less of a decline. But there's no doubt it's linked to what's happening in the economy. But of course, as already has been mentioned, youth are far more vulnerable and they suffer the effects at least double the rate of any other part of the working age population.
Craig, the rates we're seeing, though, more than 12,500 apprentices have lost work in this pandemic, with the Global Apprenticeship Network released data showing that in March only 880 positions were advertised. That's compared with normally 2,000. They basically say the ads just sort of stopped overnight. This is despite the fact that the Morrison government had already announced early on in this a 50% wage subsidy for apprentices and trainees that was part of the initial stimulus package. So why hasn't that been enough to convince businesses to either keep on their apprentices or to seek new apprentices? That's a fairly hefty subsidy.
That's exactly right. And I think, though, given the, and this is the term often used, this unprecedented nature, I think employers, when they've got to look at their full employment book and say who can they afford to keep on and who they can't, unfortunately, it's the apprentice that often is the victim out of that, because they've just got to look at their books and say, I can't give them the training that I've taken this apprentice on for. So unfortunately, they're often the first ones that are let go.
Megan, I'll come to you, Danita, in a moment. But Megan, just back to you on that. Is there anything, I mean, that stands to reason. If business has stopped, employers will be laying off people, and the young ones and the apprentices are often, you know, the least valuable at that moment, I suppose. Is there anything more the government could and should do, apart from a 50% wage subsidy, to keep apprentices and trainees tethered to their bosses? And is JobKeeper coming into play here, or should it come in more?
Well, I think you've actually hit on an important thing, and I might just point out that the wage subsidy is only available for apprentices with 20 or less employees, and that includes the apprentice and any casuals in that workplace. So that's only a very small number of workplaces that take apprentices. So we'd like to see the wage subsidy extended across all apprentice categories, regardless of employer size. That would really make a very significant difference overnight. So that would be one aspect. And looking at other JobKeeper arrangements, and I know the government has been continuing to look at those things, but I think the point you've made about keeping the apprentice connected or tethered to the workplace, as you described it, is incredibly important, because we know from history, if they become disconnected, they don't return. They don't return to that trade, and we must prevent that.
Danita, from the package we've already heard, it suggests we haven't really done very well in preventing that yet. The majority of Australia's apprenticeships are in the construction industry, which is a sector that hasn't really been hit as hard as others by the economic crisis. Building still going on, social distancing, we heard earlier, is working well in many of those construction sites. Are builders keeping on their apprentices, and will they be in a position to take more on? And what sort of role is the government subsidy and JobKeeper having there?
We have been very fortunate that we've still been able to continue slightly slower, but nevertheless, we've been able to continue, which has meant that we've had less job losses in our sector than any others. Our concern at the moment is the lack of forward work. We rely heavily on private sector investment. Our survey that was conducted last week shows a drop across both residential and commercial building of around about 40%, which would correlate to around about 400,000 job losses out of 1.2 million workers, and that unfortunately will include apprentices. Our focus is about stimulus, not subsidies, and ensuring that we can, where possible, get governments to fill the void of the private sector investment drop-off, so we can continue to keep people in work.
Okay, so that lack of forward work, you know, the government's COVID-19 commission is meeting to look at ways to keep stimulating the economy and to work with the government and private sectors to help the economy rebound more quickly. We've already seen one state government talk about perhaps buying some of the unused capacity on some of these large construction sites for social housing. Are governments talking to the construction industry about that sort of project, and do you want to see more of that?
Absolutely. We've been very welcomed by the recognition of building and construction as a compliance and assisting with recovery. We've put to our governments stimulus packages since as early as March, where we recognised that the lag that would be felt in building construction needed to be filled quickly. And so we continue to ask and request that governments look at stimulus packages, not just in commercial and civil, but also housing. We've seen forward contracts in housing of 50% plus. We think this is an opportune time for social and affordable housing to be ramped up with the assistance of government, but also the assistance of superannuation funds as well.
Craig, to come to you now, because from next month, universities and TAFEs will offer discounted online courses designed to help fill skill shortages in areas like nursing, teaching, IT and science. So this is away from the apprenticeship side of thing. Have you had much interest in that? Because we're talking skills more broadly. Apprentices and trades are one area of it. IT is another. Teaching, nursing. Much interest in these shorter courses and discounted courses. And what level of skill will they give people?
So what I'm hearing from around the TAFEs in particularly out down the eastern seaboard is the interest has been quite remarkable. Queensland had offered some free online courses last week or the week before, and they had 14,000 inquiries just in 2 days, similar in New South Wales. So I think what that's triggering amongst people is to say, well, in this economic shock, I've actually got to make sure that I prepare myself for the future so I don't suffer from that again. So I think what we've got to do within the tertiary education sector, both sort of in TAFEs and in universities, is to be able to make sure that we've got the capacity in this classic sort of counter-cyclical time to be able to make sure that we prepare people. Now, clearly doing it online is not going to prepare you for in a full way for all of these jobs, but what's trying to be happening is to give people an introduction so they can at least get into work and make a productive contribution, whether it be in aged care, in the health services or whatever.
But will it do that? I mean, it's equivalent to what, a Cert 3 or a Cert 4 or something, is it?
It's part of a Cert, often it's part of a Cert 3 or a Cert 4. So what they're trying to do
So it's really just
to
tempt people to get into the vocational education system. It's tempting people in.
Well, it's to prepare them for particular jobs that are important in at the moment. So it gives them the introduction so that they can get into the workplace and be reasonably productive. But we shouldn't. But it doesn't give them the full qualification. And then the hope is that they would then continue on with that qualification afterwards.
You're listening to
complete the qualification.
Thanks. You're listening to RN Breakfast. Our guest, Craig Robertson, Chief Executive of TAFE Directors Australia. Megan Lilly is Head of Workforce Development at the IO Group. And Danita Warne is Chief Executive of Master Builders Australia. Megan, what kind of changes do employers want to see in skills training? And what changes could this crisis help bring about? Where's the priority for you?
Okay, well, I really do think that the whole vocational system, in fact, the tertiary system, is due for a fair amount of reform, and I think apprenticeships are clearly part of that reform. Mm-hmm. I think we need to see the development of much more contemporary skills through earn and learn pathways, such as the apprenticeship. So the higher technology skills, I think we need to develop them now, and they will help us drive out of this downturn.
So when you say higher technology, what do you mean? Mm-hmm. What are you talking about?
Skills, if you want to talk about manufacturing, that'd be skills mm-hmm. more aligned around advanced manufacturing, industry 4, digitalisation, those sorts of skills. Some of those skills can be embedded in traditional arrangements such as apprenticeships. Some of them stand alone. But I think it's very, very important that everyone going forward will really need a really strong digital base to any skill base they've got, and that we should be working on that right now, and that will help drive our recovery.
So you're talking about things like I mean, we talk a lot in general about STEM subjects and the lack of students going into it. I mean, that's the pipeline in from school, isn't it? And then you've got higher education.
Oh, that's absolutely right. And we do have issues around STEM and higher education, and we need to keep building that up. But we also need a really strong applied approach to all of this. That's actually where it works and it matters, and it needs to be actually tied into the work, because the technology is actually in the workplace. It's not in institutions. So we've got to build the learning around the work, and we need it to be much more accessible. Employers need to be able to engage more people. The qualifications need to be more flexible to accommodate it, and the training providers, I'm very sure, would be quite happy to be party to all of that, so that we can build up the volume and drive a much stronger approach to it.
And Danita, just finally to you, it's early days, but how much of an impact do you expect any loss of temporary visa holders because they're returning home or they can't come due to travel restrictions will have? And does this present an opportunity for Australian workers if there is the capacity amongst our workforce?
Well, we're always focused on Australians first in terms of jobs. This is a huge opportunity, and we think there are a range of workers, unfortunately, at the moment displaced. If building and construction is one of the drivers of recovery, we would love to see more people focus their attention on building and construction as a career of choice. We've had shortages pre-COVID. We think we'll more than likely have shortages once we're in recovery phase, and certainly we're focused on particularly pre-apprenticeships at the moment from those who would perhaps like an introduction to the industry.
All right. Look, thank you, all of you, Megan Lilly, Danita Warne and Craig Robertson.
Thank you.
Megan Lilly is Head of Workforce Development at the AI Group. Danita Warne is Chief Executive of Master Builders Australia, and Craig Robertson is Chief Executive of TAFE Directors Australia. And just on that point that was made early on about the government's cut-off point for the apprenticeship study subsidy, one of you writes, coronavirus subsidies for apprentices. We're a small business, cafe, restaurant. Because we have more than 20 staff total, we don't qualify for the subsidy. These staff include some casuals who only do one or two shifts a week, and school-based trainees. Full-time equivalent, we have way less than 20 staff desperately trying to keep our apprentices employed. So that goes a message straight to the federal government there to expand that definition. It's 8:27 on Breakfast.